I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time.
The world's best converting checkout.
Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Jimmy Ray, who wants to know? Who wants to know
about
who
me?
Who wants to know about me?
Are you dangerous?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Euro, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Clackerini, everyone.
Absolutely. What more do you want in your podcast?
Nothing more.
Nothing.
You don't need anything more.
Our cup overfluff.
Yeah.
Indeed it does. Speaking of cups overflowing, what about the Welsh Cup?
Three cheers for Britain.
Yes. Congratulations to West Britain.
Britain is back!
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get a medal.
Yeah. Those people laughing at England getting beaten by Iceland, I've just watched that France game. Not laughing now, are they?
No. Yeah. I'll tell you what, it was wonderful Welsh stuff.
Oh, they were
against Belgium. I mean,
I couldn't believe what I was watching. I bloody well enjoyed it. It was fantastic.
I found it funny when they were singing, and I fully understand why. Obviously, the bants behind it and history was singing, "Oh, are you watching England?" And yeah, I thought, a lot of us are, and we're enjoying it.
I hope all those England players were watching it.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
We deserve this as much as you enjoy giving it out.
What are the England?
It's like an S&M party, isn't it?
Well, we're akin to self-harm if you saw the Iceland game against England. What the English players should have done was all watched it together, like the Welsh players watched the Iceland game, and then all celebrated when Wales went through.
Like a version of the Vardy party.
Vardy
party, yeah, when Leicester won the league.
Yeah. People getting dragged around the floor for different reasons. Yeah. You idiot. Bloody idiots.
People just slumped in a heap crying.
I tell you what, I did fear for Wales when Nainggolan scored that beauty.
Yeah.
There was a moment before when Belgium seemed to have all the shots and Wales had all the blocks.
Yeah.
They were just chucking themselves in the way. And I thought,
unstoppable hell beast of a shot.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Fallout 4's Nainggolan.
Yeah, right.
When they saw that go in, though, I actually thought in a weird way, and I might just be after-timing a bit here and looking back on it, but I actually thought it helped Wales. I felt like they thought, right, do you know what? We knew they were probably going to get a goal. Now they've got one. It's early enough in the game. And not only that, it's a goal that wasn't really a defensive error. There's nothing you can do about that. Yeah. Mm. If someone scores a goal like that against you, you've got to hold your hands up. Yep. And actually, I thought it helped to focus them and they could redouble down and get on with it.
Yeah.
And realise that it's not the end of the world that they've conceded the goal. And they did so well to battle back. But it wasn't a huge surprise to them they did initially because they looked a lot more sort of calm and focused after that.
History will certainly agree with what you've just said there. But you're right, though. I think you're absolutely right. With Wales going into this game, really, the only time they'd probably been tested was against England, which is ridiculous to think. And, you know, against Slovakia, it was, you know, first game, couldn't be cagey. They got through it. They got a good win against England. They obviously were backs to the walls. Probably because they thought a point will do us here. I think that was probably their thinking. And I think that England game, Coleman would have thought to himself, do you know what? We didn't apply ourselves there. They beat a poor Russia side. They got through against Northern Ireland. And against Belgium, it was never going to be a backs-to-the-walls job. And they were under the cosh straight away. And I feared for Wales. And I thought, do you know what? A lot of these Belgian players play in the Premier League. They play against players like the you find in the Wales team. Actually, I think Belgium could have a good time here if they apply themselves. But like you say, Luke, all that goes into the quarterfinal cocktail for Wales. Yeah. And actually, they came out with an umbrella on the top.
But very nicely put. They also had in their locker that they'd played Belgium and not only not been embarrassed, but they had beaten them in qualifying and they sort of knew a bit about them. And they also knew that Belgium had weaknesses. And Belgium weren't ruthless at all or ruthless enough with their chances. Lukaku missed one, Fellaini missed one later on. And Wales were able to take theirs. But, I mean, the goal from Hal Robson-Kanu was a goal of genuine class.
Sold five players a dummy. Yeah. They almost lurched off the screen as he kind of turned.
That sort of technique and clarity of thought and execution against players and defenders and goalkeeper, of course, of good quality, was really good to see.
It was so single-minded, wasn't it?
He couldn't believe it when he turned and he was like,
there's nobody left.
That's just the keeper.
He could have put it even closer into the bottom left-hand corner of the net. Like, it was quite close to the keeper for me. I was like, oh, mate, you could have hit that a bit better.
Why so negative?
About games involving Wales.
Yeah. Well, Luke, Ashley Williams' celebration. It was a celebration for the ages.
It was tremendous. It was our generation's Tardelli.
Do you think he could be up there?
It was every bit as...
He had a couple of headers.
Every bit as well executed. It was great.
Yeah. Do you think that celebration, if Ashley Williams had thumped his chest, that's causing an earthquake.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. Yeah.
I'd love to see him in a one-on-one fight to the death with Nainggolan.
Would that be good?
Strip to the waist on someone. Like, basically, do it like they strip to the waist. There's no ring, no ref, no rules. They do it when the tide goes out on the Thames and the tide's about to turn and come back in and they fight until the tide just drowns them both. One of them is the victor and able to swim away.
I'm fairly certain that Nainggolan's hair is a knife.
Yeah, it could be. You're sharp enough. Yeah.
I think Williams would win that British bulldog spirit.
He'd beat anyone.
Oh, dear. We'll
claim all the Welsh heroes as our own.
Yeah. But no, it was...
Ashley Williams, born in Smethwick. near Birmingham.
Is it right? Yeah. But I bet he's glad he's not playing for England.
The thing
was, choice.
He could have declared for England. Hodgson wouldn't have picked him.
Yeah, right. An excellent choice, Mr. Williams.
Yeah.
But it was so good that Wales were under the cosh. And then they came back, and it was almost like the first half was a half of two halves.
Yes.
And when they got that equaliser, because Taylor went very close, forced a good save from an excellent save from Courtois. And the way the game swung, and we said on I think it was the previous podcast when we're talking about Antonio Conte, we will come onto Italy, of course, that ideas can beat talent, and that Belgium have the players, but we've been questioning that system or lack of. You know, in the previous World Cup in 2014, they didn't have a clue really what they were doing, and in this tournament, they've looked good at times. Don't get me wrong, 3-0 against Ireland and obviously 4-0 against Hungary, but against a good system. You know, this tournament could be remembered for the, you know, smaller teams with great systems. You know, Italy overcoming Spain. I know they're out now, but they took the Germans all the way.
They're not a smaller team, though, are they?
Compared to Spain. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah, okay. So teams, lesser teams
who maybe aren't fancied going into the tournament.
Yeah, Iceland are an obvious example. I know they're out now. You know, but Wales are probably the ultimate example at the moment, because look at that Belgian side.
I don't want to take anything away from Wales, but just to pick up, I didn't plan to say this before the show or anything, but just now you said that.
Yeah.
I do wonder though if Wales are getting a bit, they're getting tagged with the plucky tag, possibly a bit unfairly. I think they're a little bit underrated. I think it's a little, because if you think of the players that they've got Hennessy, who's a Premier League goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. Okay, they've got Ashley Williams, a Premier League captain and very experienced. They've got Aaron Ramsey, one of the better Premier League players. Mm-hmm. They've got Gareth Bale, one of the best players in the world. They've got
Joe Allen in there. Very
Joe Allen, who's played in the Premier League for a long time. Joe Lelly's a Premier League player. Yeah. Neil Taylor's a good Premier League fullback.
Yeah, you've got FA Cup finalists. You've got Europa League finalists.
They've got a lot of good players.
But
they're not Northern Ireland. You know what I mean?
But I did put Italy in that same chat there.
Yeah,
I'm talking about a side overcoming.
It wasn't necessarily a direct response to what your point. Okay. It was more of a general thing. Can you believe Wales have done this? Now, of course, the result against Belgium was a good result. But you guys, I think you said the show before last, the one I wasn't on, where you were saying, oh, you know, a couple of people in Wales were saying, you know, we didn't think we were going to qualify. We didn't think we were going to get for the group. Well, I'm not sure I absolutely buy that. I think they did think they were going to qualify, especially with the expanded tournament. They did better than they thought they would do. But I think it's a little bit disingenuous on their part to say, oh, we can't believe we're doing this. I think they can believe it. I think they've come... Essentially, they've pulled off one big result here, which is great for them. But I don't think it's anything more than that at this point.
Do you not think it's because we know what's coming next, and Portugal have flattered to deceive at times, and I think that everyone's sort of thinking, well, that's doable, and that's then you're in the final. You know what I mean?
I do think I should, at the risk of me coming across as a bit churlish, I think they've done brilliantly well, and I don't want to take anything away from them, and I actually think they'll get past Portugal as well.
Well, there's a few statistics here to throw in the mix, but I do sort of agree with you again. To go back through the results, Slovakia, the game was there for the taking. They lost to England, for crying out loud. That seems a bit...
That's the one miss that they've made, and I think touched on it earlier. It's to do with them thinking their draw will be fine here.
That result seems like a million miles away.
The derby nature of it as well adds to that.
Right, and they beat a poor Russia side, but they beat them well. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland was a kind draw for them. It was. Yeah. But, you know, you can only beat what's put in front
of
you,
etc. They got a kind draw partly because they won their group.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. They earned the right for that, and they won the game. And I think I said at the time, you know, that is one of those games where you just think, just get it done.
They've done bloody well.
Changed it all because of the tactics, because of the response. It wasn't the fact that it was a bit of a cagey one and they nicked it 1-0 at the end. No. It was what a response.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You could see them growing confidence in the game. Mm. And you've seen that sort of with them in the tournament, Germany. But, especially after they equalised, they really sort of... They have an amazing amount of self-belief that is utterly, utterly justified. And the thing is, as well, with a team of the sort of status of Wales that would, you know, that haven't qualified for a tournament in a long time, you think they're going in there. And again, this sort of feeds back into what you're saying, Luke, about them having a lot better players than perhaps they're given credit for, is that, you know, most teams in that situation, they're quite blunt. They're looking to nick a goal and protect it. Wales look like they've got goals all over the team.
Yeah.
You know, you back them to score against anyone. You back them to...
Well, Vokes came on and what a header that was!
Yeah. Fantastic.
That was absolutely incredible. But in five games, Wales have scored 10 goals.
Mm.
That is a fantastic tally. To put that into a little bit of context...
Have England never done that?
England's best tally at the recent tournaments was in 2004 when they scored 9. Okay, they played one game less, but still.
Yeah, they've not really got as far as Wales for a little while, have they?
But you have to go back to 1966... to find, and we'll use that word again, a British team that scored more when England scored 11 in total.
Right, so Wales could even beat that, couldn't they?
Well, you would fancy them to.
We shouldn't just keep comparing them to England, though. They're very much doing their own thing.
Well, no, we're not really
comparing
them to England.
They're very much part of England, I think, in many ways.
But yeah, I've seriously, Pete, that is, and well done to them. They played their part.
Yeah. England West.
But we're not comparing them to England. We were in that stat, which gives it a bit of context on how good Wales have been. You know, they've been one of the top scoring sides.
Indirect comparison to England, though. That's what I mean.
I call Wales the Liverpool ear.
Yeah.
Or the Cornwall hat.
I mean, they're very much part of the West Country.
Yeah.
Okay. And
vote the same.
And they're welcome.
Then ask for money but again.
But seriously, West England have done very, very well.
Is that what the W stands for? I tried Wales.
Yeah. But seriously,
Wales actually stands for West and Lesser England, sort of.
Oh man! I think, of course, we love you. You guys
do talk a bit about we shouldn't necessarily compare them to England, and it's not really fair to do so. And I agree with that. I think the only reason we're doing that is possible, obviously, because we're all English and we've seen what England have done on the flip side to this. But it does show you actually what a team can do when they've got a system they know that they believe in, they're used to it, works for them, they know the role they perform within that system. Mm-hmm. As we've seen before, and we've said many a time on the show over the years, that 3-5-2 when you execute probably can work very well because it gives you that extra man in the midfield. Mm-hmm. You've got the two wide players who are going to work back and work really hard. You've got a really colossal sweeper / leader in the back three. Mm. It can work very well for them, and every single one of those players executed their job properly. He used his subs well. Sam Vokes came on. Sam Vokes isn't a player of amazing quality, but you know what you're going to get with him. He can stretch the play. He can offer a threat when Belgium, because Belgium are always going to push at 2-1. Mm-hmm. So Vokes is there as an outlet, and he executed that header very well. I think Alan Shearer said, who knows a bit about scoring headed goals, he said, I initially thought he came too far past the near post. I thought he can't get that in there from there. Mm. And obviously he was able to do so, and it's a fantastic goal to seal it. They executed their job so well, it automatically puts you in mind of England because they executed their job so poorly. Yeah. It gives you a sort of counterpoint to that.
Yeah, and we were comparing, well, I can't remember if we made direct comparisons, but when you took like that Italy win against Spain, you know, or even Iceland, you know, that's why when you, obviously because we're English, you know, we think bloody hell England, you know, you don't play as a cohesive unit. And Belgium will be thinking the same thing now. Belgium will be going, bloody hell, we played against a team who had a proper system, and that system has beaten them. But before the tournament, we fancied Wales to do okay, and we said because they know how they will play going into the tournament. And I think against the better sides, they know how to play as well. They never hammered anybody off the top of my head in qualification. You know, they beat Cyprus, you know, 1-0 and certainly away, and there were one or two other results. But, you know, you get those games done. And I think that Wales, the way they've been set up, they know their jobs, and that's absolutely crucial. But there they are. They're in the semi-final. They're against Portugal. It's a winnable game.
Fundamentally, though, I can't remember being as excited about an international football match. You know, I'm going back to like 96, 98, the last time I got that excited. As an English person.
You've also got to give them credit for essentially, I mean, at one point they were dominating possession. I don't think they finished with more possession, but they had more shots, they had more corners. And I think they had slightly one less corner, but they had more shots on target, more shots in total, and were worthy winners. I know Belgium missed chances, but I think was it Neil Taylor who caught on, made a brilliant save from as well. So they could have had another goal. That was a miraculous save, by the way. So they could have even scored four. So it was very much a deserved win for Wales.
It was.
I just touched on it earlier. That's notwithstanding the fact that there could be a bit of after the Lord Mayor show about this, as we talked about earlier just before we came on air. I think Wales will look at that Portugal game and think we can. Portugal aren't the team Belgium are.
Portugal haven't won a game in normal time, have they?
Yeah, exactly.
Which seems absolutely crazy given that they're in the semis.
If they bump to the side early, they're going to make chances.
If Wales play to the system and play to the jobs they know they can play, they'll be in the European Championship final.
That goal from Ross Nkanu, can I just sort of ask a question from you guys? Is it, looking at how important it was and looking how good it was, is it better than Paul Gascoigne's goal in 96?
Yeah, we're doing the comparison again.
Well, yeah, but I think it's an important one. I think it's more important and it's a better goal.
They're both great British goals.
Well, it was more important than Gascoigne's goal.
I think for me,
all good for the Empire.
Given the gravity of the situation, given that it essentially was the winning goal against the team to put them into the semis of the World Cup for the first time in their history, I think it's the goal of the tournament.
Yeah,
I think it's the goal of the tournament.
Love it.
I still have Shaqiri's above it.
Because you like bicycle kicks.
So I'm a big fan.
How big a miss do you think Aaron Ramsey's going to be? Because that's
not at all, Jim.
To...
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, as
bad
you said,
time
that,
for losing,
well, yeah, it is. But their system dictates that they've got more bodies in midfield. I guess
they've got old. What's his name? Young Johnny Williams to come on. He's executed himself
well.
He's executed his job well when he's come on. So I think it'll be a miss. I think he's probably been. So in the top three best players, I would say, Ramsey, from what I've seen.
They were collecting yellow cards for fun, though, weren't they, that period of the game?
I think Portugal got a couple of players missing.
Yeah, Willie Carvalho's
out,
he's missing.
Yeah, I mean, well, we were going to talk about Portugal and Poland in the second bit, but I think we should talk about it now, because obviously they're playing Portugal.
Before we do that, I need to say I do think Wales will get past Portugal. If you fancy them to beat Portugal within 90 minutes, it's 16-5 on Bet365. For £10, returns you £42, including your stake.
It's eminently doable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the one thing I often think, if you look in the history books, you know, an unfancied side that reaches a semi final. Very rarely do they go past that. We all talk about Denmark and Greece as the obvious ones, which will, you know, give Wales a bit of encouragement. And I think Wales were very much the lesser side against Portugal. There's a bit of expectation now. Mm. And you sort of think, oh, we quite fancy that. Obviously, on the day, if Portugal come at them, and if they know the jobs, they know the jobs, certainly. It's a hard one to call. It really, really
But the reason I think Wales are a bit more equipped, I take your point about the semi-final comparison, but if you look at like someone like South Korea, who did they play in the semi-final? They played a team who went on to win it, didn't they?
Germany.
They played Germany. Okay,
yeah,
fine.
Lost in the final.
But they were well below Germany standard. I wouldn't say Wales are far below Portugal standard, because and the reason I say that is because Wales play with a plan, and Portugal, it looks to me, one, don't really know what the style of football they're playing is. They just seem to look to
grinding
Ronaldo, Nani, and to a lesser extent Quaresma to do the job for them and get them through. And I don't know if that'll work against such a well-operated, well-drilled team like Wales.
But Portugal are grinding out results.
If Bale gets the winner, Ronaldo's going to explode.
Well, it's really interesting, Jim, because there was talk in the newspapers today about how this symbolises like almost like a power shift at Real Madrid, and how Gareth Bale's expected to be awarded them a massive new contract that's going to essentially politically make him the main man at Real Madrid. I don't know.
But that's it down to his age more than anything else, isn't it?
It must be something to do with it. Yeah, I don't know the ins and outs of like the inner workings of the politics.
Why not?
Madrid, but
I'm sure Ronaldo's looking for the Fountain of Youth.
Well, if anyone's going to find it, it's going to be him. Yeah. Probably in his house.
Absolutely right.
Coming out of a big horrible fountain.
Portugal went through on penalties.
So Portugal have played more football as well.
Yeah.
Half an hour more.
Yeah, but they played it
twice
the day before.
Right.
Yeah, but they've been to extra time twice now.
Yeah.
They have.
And that's where the injuries happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
Quaresma's having a brilliant time, isn't he? Just decisively making contributions towards the end.
Yeah. Well, it's great for him because he's probably only in his early 30s, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been in and out of that
team.
It
seems like
he's
been around for a very long time. He's flattered to deceive in his career for a long time.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be delighted to be a part of that squad. I don't think, given that what's happened to him in the past of his career, I don't know if he would have ever thought he'd be in a squad in 2016 at certain points in his career.
That's
just on the penalty shootout thing, Bet365 make Wales 7-1 to be eliminated by a penalty shootout at any stage. So £10 returns £80.
If Wales really want to give two fingers up to England and go, this is how you do a tournament, they'll win on penalties.
They'll beat Germany in the final.
The algorithm was on top form again with Portugal. Yeah. I have to hold my hands up here, ladies and gentlemen, on the WhatsApp group. Luke said it's Portugal, and I went, are you sure? I was, with extra evidence given to me from an outside source, I went to the wrong source, essentially, and again, I got my fingers burned, and I've learned my lesson, but I went for Poland. And
I said it on Twitter as well. I mean, for that sort of insight, you can follow me on Twitter. it's funny because whenever I get the old penalty algorithm out and crunch the old numbers and come out with the correct result, no one comes back to me.
Is that right?
But when I get it wrong, it's like bang, bang, bang.
Well, it's an algorithm, isn't it?
It's an algorithm.
I can't remember the last time you got it wrong.
It's never happened. I'm making it up.
Yeah,
if you input the numbers and the right algorithms into the algorithm, the big algorithm, you get the right result.
Yeah, and if
what
you
are
do...
the variables again, Luke?
I can't...
Oh, Tim, come on.
It started out being very, very sort of straightforward and standard, only three data points.
Read the white paper, Jim.
It's expanded a great deal since then, Jim.
An awful lot. Yeah.
What he does is he posts Portugal to win, Poland to win, and then deletes one of them.
That's not
from
true. I knew you were going to accuse me of that, and that is not true. I actually put Portugal to win, Poland to win, and draw. It goes, will the shootout go on forever? Question mark.
There's your three data points.
The football equivalent of a coin landing on its edge.
Didn't that happen in the MLS quite recently?
That's never happened, though.
It landed on its edge, I'm sure it did.
What, in the grass?
Yeah, in the grass, yeah.
Not the same, is it?
Not in the grass, in the grass.
In the grass.
In the grass.
I can't tell you, listen, if you, it's like quantum mechanics. If you think you understand the penalty algorithm, you don't understand.
I just want to clarify that since you've said what the variables are, you've added loads to it, won't tell anyone what they are, and are now just claiming victory.
Well, to be fair, I know what the...
Yeah, I mean, carry on. What's your point?
But to be fair, as the good listeners know...
He did predict Portugal.
Judge on
I am an upstanding citizen.
Yeah. Apart from the opening question,
available for hire. It's true though; I know the variables that Luke's talking about, and I think he is onto something.
I wasn't able to do them.
Luke got it wrong, I would want to tell you.
Yeah,
all right. Don't worry about that.
I wasn't able to do it for the Germany Italy game because I was at a wedding.
He's got another two rounds of football to go, so let's see.
No, but the reason why he didn't get it out because the algorithm doesn't even bother with Germany involved.
No, it's not quite. There is a Germany factor.
If the algorithm survives to the Charity Shield match, I love it.
Pete, if you put Germany into it, it just resets all the levels to zero. error. Seriously, Pete, on the penalty algorithm thing, come at me, bro.
If you put Germany into it, it's like trying to put money into a cash machine.
Yeah, it's just, what are you doing? Yeah. If it has to get rolled out again, it'll get rolled out
again. I imagine there was punch cards and steam coming out of it during the Germany shootout, because goodness me.
I was at a wedding, I didn't leave it unattended.
Yeah, right. But it was a shame for old Blazkowski, because he missed, what a shame for old Kuba. He's had a good tournament, he was the one who missed the penalty.
He's been a good player for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a bit of a rough time of late, though. I think he's had quite a few injuries and lost a bit of form at Dortmund and stuff. And obviously, he was on the road to recovery, and he has been probably their best player.
But at least Lewandowski got on the sheet.
Yeah, it was good to see him score.
Good news for all of us who may or may not have put him down as their potential top scorer for the tournament in their predictions.
Bad news for anyone who might have put Dark Horses Poland as well.
What are you doing?
I'm just saying.
We didn't all do it. We don't know each other. That's naughty.
You did this exact thing last time.
When?
I remember. World Cup.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
It's just the equivalent.
And we told you off.
It's just like a trailer for a film you want to see.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with a little snifter, is there? A little snifter.
Yeah.
But it's annoying when all the best bits are in the trailer.
Oh, it's Pete we're talking about. There's no way you can know the best bits there.
My 22 goals are only gone.
Zero yellow cards.
He's probably put Germany for Dark Horse. Don't worry about it. I'd be surprised if all the teams he's mentioned in his predictions are even qualified.
Would Germany stand? I've just written Megatron.
You've got Malta here.
Yeah. Malta.
And this is just blood. Yeah. This is blood. You've not written anything.
You've wrote the Kings of Leon.
Stephen Fletcher as top scorer.
This is a job application for McDonald's.
With a big stamp on it.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Portugal have only led for 22 minutes. In this tournament thus far.
It's all set up for a Ronaldo top-off at some point.
Very much so. No side has ever gone this far without winning a match in 90 minutes before in the competition's history, which is quite incredible. The fifth time Poland have reached the semis in the Euros, 84, 2000, 2004, 2012, and obviously now 2016. So maybe the comparison I made with England and Portugal being a similar level was a little off the mark. They've been to five semi-finals since 1984. In the Euros alone, I think they were in one in the World Cup.
Well, this is the thing I was talking to you guys about this earlier. I read a couple of people saying that, England, I don't want to bring it back to England every time, but just on this point, England need to understand, or the English football fans need to understand, that England are now, they're not a first-tier nation, they're not a Germany or an Italy or a France, they're a second-tier nation. They're not even a second-tier nation.
No.
Yeah, because the example given for a second-tier nation was Portugal.
Or Belgium, you could maybe say.
And that stat you just given makes me think, well, we're not Portugal.
Certainly not.
No, we're
near
that.
I don't think anyone's under the impression that we were a top-tier nation.
I don't know, Jim. I mean,
somebody didn't print out their Great Britain flip-flops from the Sun. Got them in the end, sort of.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, not really.
And again, Pete, it's fine to make a contribution.
Yeah. Sorry, guys, I'm just recovering from that burn.
Yeah, Jim, sorry about that, mate. Yeah. On behalf of Pete, I am sorry about that.
I have eaten a lot of food.
Yeah. I got there.
I'm sleepy.
You obviously went somewhere I didn't realise.
Seriously,
you were
going to. The Sun doing free flip-flops.
Right, let's have an ad break, and then we'll be back after this.
All right, then. Heads up, it's the Ramblers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back indeed. Oh, it's going to be good talking about the next two quarterfinals.
One of them was a goal fest.
It was.
Wasn't it? One of them made, somehow, even though England got knocked out almost a week ago, we've still made to look even more stupid.
That's right. But before we talk about France and Iceland, shall we have some highlights?
Oh, yeah. That's what you were alluding to.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Not to worry.
I ignored that bit on the running order for some reason. I've got some highlights here. Pete, have you got some emails as well? Are you going to come up after this?
I'll do them at the end of the show.
Okay, fine. Yeah. So the first highlight is from Stephen Bow, who says, my highlight of the week was Germany's inbuilt inability to lose a penalty shootout even when they're trying to.
Nice.
It's like the opposite of an England problem, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
This is one from Carl Chester Marsden, who may start to feel a little bit silly after I read this out. My highlight is going to be watching Iceland absolutely decimate the French, so we can firmly say we had no chance last Monday, regardless of the absolute atrocities on the pitch playing for England. That's backfired for you, Carl, that one. And Tom Hadfield, that turn from Robson Carney was my highlight. John Hartson on Five Live, he sent the defenders for a cup of tea and a bit of toast.
Lovely. Robbie Savage was, I think, actually crying.
Yeah, I know.
It was incredible.
I should say on that, because in the interest of balance with Robbie Savage, he did say something I thought was quite a nice piece of commentary.
Goodbye.
No, he said. I'll tell you something now. But if Barry Davies had said it,
oh, I know what you're going to say.
We all would have been like, "That's a brilliant piece
of commentary."
He said,
say.
"Go upstairs and wake the kids up because something extraordinary is happening." That is a really good line, I think, and he should be credited for that.
But he started it with, "If that mad Lionel Messi had done that, oh, shut up, Robbie."
I'd rather distance myself from that part of the commentary, particularly.
I mean, to be fair to him, it's understandable he's excitable. However, I'm actually lucky enough I will be going to that semi-final, and I'm glad that I won't have to listen to him.
Yeah, fair enough. You're going to go to the Wales semi?
I'm there.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Although I'll probably be...
Get your face paint out.
Yeah. With your Wales semi.
Your Team GB kit from the Olympics.
Yeah. West England supporters club.
Gigs, Man United shirt with Gigs on the back.
Just on that, Facebook quote about John Hartson, Dowie Howells replied saying, see also, because apparently Hartson also said he sent them out of the stadium, I hope they've got tickets to get back in. And he also said, rather more bizarrely, they've all gone off for a crepe Suzette. Strange one.
A rare bit of commentary, you might say.
And this one's from James
that
Irwin.
Deserve better.
Sorry, say again.
A rare bit of commentary.
Yeah, well done.
Thanks. Right.
Can I get to James Irwin now? Because he's made a funny contribution, and I'd like to share it.
All right.
He said, did anyone notice Martin Keown's insanely inaccurate set piece predictions? He said, first of all, expect this corner to be whipped in hard. Corner is taken short. This has got to be an in-swinger now. Outswinging free kick. Yeah. Apparently he was doing it all game.
Nice.
And I'll end with this one saying, Andrew Roython, who says, the commentator on ITV's coverage of France-Iceland talked about all the past tournaments at the Stade de France without mentioning La Tournoi.
That's rude.
That's, to me, that is a diplomatic dig.
And we've had enough of them of late, let's be honest. A couple of highlights, Ibrahimovic breaking Man United power records in his medical at Old Trafford.
Did he really? That's incredible.
That's decent,
I didn't know that.
They only started taking them now, though, as some sort of PR
thing. Maybe. How good is that?
That's great.
That's fantastic. I heard James Horncastle was saying to me a few weeks back, saying that with all the talk that goes on about Ibra and all his antics and everything like that, saying he is rated as being one of the best athletes in world football.
Even
at his age, he's apparently an incredible athlete.
Yeah,
takes his fitness very, very seriously.
You can see that.
Yeah, so this just a reminder me on that subject.
Yeah.
A couple of people on Facebook were saying, isn't it interesting how Zlatan announced his signing for Man United before the club did?
Yeah.
And they were, people were saying, can you think of anyone else doing that?
Mm.
Because it's normally come from the club, doesn't it?
That is a fair point. My other one was this quote: I am always available and would like to help the FA or the new manager, whoever he is.
Yeah,
Sven could be back.
The worst thing about that is, by the way,
and he fancies it.
I saw that in context. And in the same article where he said that quote was used, they also said, "Oh, Steven Gerrard's in talks about a coaching role." Yeah. That's the last thing we need.
Yeah,
I've got nothing against Gerrard personally.
Gerrard and Lampard as assistant managers.
Yeah. Oh, which one do you use for which game?
Oi, when one talks, the other one shuts up.
Yeah, one of them could coach the forwards, the other could coach the defenders. You both coach the forwards again.
Imagine them both just getting stuck in the doorway, the changing room, neither can get out.
Oh, they just don't work together, you can't have them both.
The defenders have been standing in the rain for an hour.
Nicky Butt's done all his badges and he can't get the job.
Why is Paul Scholes coaching way out there? Paul Scholes coaching over the hill, beyond the hedge. On his own.
Do you want a quick
it's sunburn.
Do you want a quick email?
Yeah, go ahead.
From Nick. A bit late to this, and I know we've already exhausted talking about England, but I just thought I'd throw in an audio clip of Chris Waddle. So exasperated is he with the same old, that he's just resorted to some pretty original and obscure name calling. And this is the audio file.
They're all pampered. They're all just headphones.
They're all just headphones.
Oh, wow.
That's
he's
amazing.
About the headphones they wear when they go to the game.
Yeah, but he's left
fuming.
Out so much information.
Have you never watched football before? What does it mean?
They're all just headphones.
Oh, God.
It was cut off mid-sentence, to be fair.
Yeah. Chris Waddle does speak a lot of sense about England.
He
talks about, because he know that he, I don't know if he still does, but up until very recently at least, he was still playing grassroots football.
Yeah.
Plays for the local side, and in his 50s now, of course. But he said in his experience, the lack of coaching, the lack of quality standard of pitches and refereeing and all the facilities that go on compared to on the continent, it's an absolute scandal. It really is. He speaks a lot of sense about it whenever he's asked about England. He really does.
But he was misused at that level for quite a while himself. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's fair dues personally.
Yeah. Shall we move on to the other quarterfinals?
Mm. Yeah, if you want.
France beat Iceland 5-2.
Iceland are rubbish.
Yeah. France have sort of really mugged off England.
You can imagine the England players coming off after they got beaten. We're beaten by Iceland and saying, yeah, but you know, you haven't played against them. They're actually really good.
Yeah. To be fair, like, I keep saying to people when they go, oh, we'll bet England. I said, well, look, we've gone out to a good Iceland side. We haven't, have
no.
we?
I mean, to be fair, it's probably.
They are a good Iceland side.
It's the best Iceland side in history. I don't know if you guys know this, but they've only got Iceland, I mean. They've only got a very small population.
They've only got 300. You know that film, 300?
Yeah, that's them.
They've also got not that much stat work as well.
I wonder why the final scene of that game was one of the Gunnar and the midfield player kicking Wayne Reed down a well.
But France put them to the sword, did they not?
All of Iceland's trivia is in France this summer, that's it.
Yeah.
They've all travelled.
Nothing else has happened in Iceland for the whole year compared to this.
It was a shame because when France, I mean, they raced into the lead pretty quickly and then they were 4-0 up and you thought...
This is what I thought would happen in England. I said this on the show a couple of weeks ago. If England score early, we'll be absolutely fine.
France were,
weren't they? They're absolutely fine.
Yeah,
it's 4-0.
I do wonder if there was an element with Iceland that beating England was kind of the zenith of it, and this was kind of like...
Stop trying to claim it!
No. As in...
Thanks,
oh,
everyone.
Oh, yeah, you might have beaten us, but it's the best thing you've ever done.
No. Well, it probably is in terms of tournament results, but...
What are you looking at me for? I'm Welsh, I told you.
Yeah, right. all right, well, I'll look at Pete then.
Yeah.
The Austria game. Because he looks like Hitler.
Strong market.
Yeah. I'm only joking.
Especially a man who looks like Idi Amin.
Yeah. Why can't I have a dictator?
What was I saying? Unlike Wales, when they go into the Portugal game, thought, right, we can have this, we can do this. I just wonder if there was perhaps an element of, oh, brilliant, we've got a bonus match. Do you see what I mean? Yeah.
But it's also a case...
Well, what was that phrase you used about the Lord Mayor show?
After Lord Mayor show, yeah. The thing with Iceland, though, I don't think it's necessarily even that. I think it's they set up the way they are used to setting up to try and spoil the party, get to 60 minutes and be 0-0, maybe.
Yeah, and France, this is our party.
But hoping that France would buckle under the pressure, which, to be fair, they have shown signs of earlier in this tournament, mm-hmm. but it's not worked out. And as I said to you before, very hard to change the mentality around, and obviously they weren't able to do that. But they did get a couple of goals. I mean, I don't want to patronise them.
No, but you're right. It's nice to get a couple of
if they had been beaten 5-0, that would have been a huge shame.
Yeah. If you came at the end of the thing, it was like it did end 5-2, isn't it? We have watched it. But if you look at that, you say, that's a pretty decent result that late in the competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
5-2.
To go out to the host of the quarter final is more than I would have expected.
Yeah.
And frat ice is what I get written on the side of my frappuccino ice at Starbucks. So tried that joke off air, didn't work. On air, you're not really getting behind it either. It's fine, really, isn't it?
I mean, I can't speak on behalf of the listeners. I'll be surprised if they enjoyed it.
You can give it a good go, though.
Just before we move on from that, I should say France and Germany are now joint favourites for the tournament with Bet365 at 7-4. So £10 on either of those teams to win it will bring you £27.50, including your stake.
Nice to see a dink from Griezmann.
Lovely finish.
And a high dink as well.
Mm. Yeah.
High dinks.
High dinks.
Yeah.
She's been chased by four defenders at the same time. It's like, wow. It was a great turn as well, to be fair.
There's a little battle in the French side now for top scorer because you've got Payet's on four, Griezmann's on four, and Giroud's suddenly on three.
Payet's on three.
Jeez.
Payet's on four.
He scored today.
Oh, yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, yeah. Your goals, Jim.
Brilliant. it's really good. France experimented with moving. Did you notice that? That gave them a big advantage.
Yeah, it was more orthodox.
Yeah. Triangles. Just triangles, lads.
That's all it is. Yeah. That's all it is. Shall we go on to Germany versus Italy? The derby of Europe. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
That was one for the purists.
It certainly was. Germany beating Italy for the first time. In a major tournament,
yeah,
of
and
course.
This is their sixth meeting as well, isn't it?
Although in rankings sense,
lads, I've just been messing around on the computer, and thank you to Godwin Arroyo, who I don't follow. We're not following him. He says that Payet scored France's third goal of the match, his third at Euro 2016.
Oh, yeah. No, your goal scorer's Marcus.
And Griezmann scored his fourth for France, his fourth at Euro 2016. How exciting!
It is.
Spelsy, don't be going. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's right.
Yeah.
Apologise to Jim, please.
Say sorry.
But the overall point I was making that there is
the
a battle.
The overall point, here he is.
Yeah. It's wrong.
If I can make it again.
He's doing the hand thing. He's doing the Tony Blair hand.
David Cameron. Let me be very clear about this.
Just go, man.
Marcus, it may be very good for my party that you're sat there.
Yeah.
It's not very good for the country. Go. For heaven's sake, man, go.
There's going to be a vote of no confidence in me in a minute.
Not the first one.
But probably not the last. But, but there is a battle for the golden boot in that French side.
Mm.
And what a battle it is. But there was, of course, a great game with Germany versus... Well, I say a great game. It wasn't exactly the match of the century that we saw.
It was an interesting contest, though, wasn't it?
It was
setting up with a back five. I love that.
Yeah. Well, as you said, it was one for the purist.
One for the purist. Yeah.
And Zaza did his best to end
it. Oh, my goodness.
Hysterical.
That was crazy. But, I mean, Ozil broke the deadlock, which was nice to see from an Arsenal point of view. I'm sure you would agree,
but he missed his second penalty of the tournament that game as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Weird.
Just reminding you. But Boateng, that was a strange one when he gave away that penalty. His arms way up in the air. For a guy who's recognised as one of the best centre-backs in the world to do that.
Yeah, it was a baffling decision.
It was.
And then Bonucci taking the penalty. That's how defensive Italy are.
Yeah.
It was a good pen, though.
Yeah, it was.
Good pen.
One of the only that
like
match.
In a way.
Yeah, it was. It was a clear. Yeah, that's what he's thought in his head. Yeah.
I'll clear this into the net.
Yeah. They definitely can't score if I put the ball in the back of their net.
Yeah. I've got enough time to get back. Yeah.
This is as far away from goal as I can get it.
Yeah.
Well, Germany still only have lost one penalty shootout in their history, which goes back to the Euros in the final of the Euros. 1976, that was to Czechoslovakia, where, of course, the Panenka penalty. Panenka scored the dinked penalty.
That's right. It's like Stephen Bowe said in the Facebook highlights earlier. They weren't even trying to win it.
They tried to lose.
They still won it, yeah.
They were like, look, Italy, you've played really well. And of course, They ended up winning. I mean, Müller missed the first penalty that Germany have missed in a shootout since 1982.
He can't score at the Euros. Isn't this his third tournament and he's still not got a goal?
Strange.
The one thing I would say is a little bit of a pointer on Italy, on how Italy can improve.
Yeah.
If it comes to a penalty shootout, if you are going to pick such an inexperienced goalkeeper, you are going to find yourself in trouble.
Really?
161 caps.
Yeah. Oh, did you see him hugging?
He's feasibly going to get to 200 caps.
Did you see him hugging people, though? Yeah. I think it was today. He was hugging people like as he was going out, because it looks like he's going to retire, but he was proper like getting into the crowd and hugging everyone.
Yeah,
what
funny,
a dude.
It's funny, because with Buffon, I see him do, and everything, his actions, makes me look like it seems like he's a really good bloke, but I've heard rumours of some very questionable politics at the moment.
I was about to say.
So,
that
ambivalent about it.
That part of Europe.
Yeah.
Well, it was interesting to see Buffon and Neuer in a shootout, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The two top keepers in the world, I guess you could argue.
Yeah,
But Neuer's antics, I think, had an effect on the Italian players. You know, his star jumps. Moving around a lot. And being a bit of a distraction and a nuisance.
Good, like that.
Nuisance, yeah.
But Germany, 21 consecutive conversions.
How dare they?
Since 1982. 21.
Who's that, Germany?
Yeah, obviously.
It's T. Berzel away from him.
It is. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, Gary Lineker jokingly tweeted that Germany would be useless at pens these days, and Mats Hummels was asked about this in a press conference, and I think Hummels was being serious, and he went, well, I'd have to agree with him.
Yeah.
He still went through.
It's not good enough for them, though, is it?
It really isn't. No. That's the thing. Well, they have won that.
They want to score five, otherwise it's failure.
That's the equivalent of, I don't know... sorry to bring it back again, but like England scoring, maybe Vardy converted that header in the last minute, and then England go through an extra time and we go, flipping heck, we won, but you know, like
we'd be
that.
Dancing, we'd be dancing the streets.
Well, yeah, I would be, but you know, that would maybe be the vibe. Germany, they've gone through 6-5 on penalties and they're like, well, not good enough, but there we are, at least we went through.
So Zaza's was odd, wasn't he? I don't think he touched the ball.
Brought on to take a penalty.
Germany have been the winner or the runner-up of 15 international tournaments.
They've been the
winner or the runner-up in an international tournament in 1954, 1966, 1974, 1982, 1990, 1986, 2014, 2002. That's in the World Cup, the European Championships, 1972, 1976, 1980, 1992, 1996, 2008.
Part of me thinks you
come in, East England.
Yeah. Don't play Wales yet, though, have they?
No, they haven't.
Our brave boys.
but Zaza's was. Who hit the worst penalty, Zaza or Pella?
It was definitely Zaza.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Pella's was...
That little run-up thing and then the
but at least he hit it with a bit of purpose. I mean, I know it went way off the target. Pella's! Daisy cutter!
I think they were both very, very bad for different reasons. I've said this before. Zaza introduced a whole load of variables he didn't need to introduce. That made himself look very, very stupid.
If he'd done a cartwheel, it would look more sensible.
But at least Zaza smashed it.
Yeah.
At least had a bit of purpose.
Yeah. He had to! Yeah. He had no cut because the keeper didn't dive.
Yeah,
he went, right, I've got no space left. I'm going to have to tour this.
Did you see Stefan Freund's video?
Yeah, he was loving
reaction.
Stefan Freund was doing punditry for a German TV station, was it? Certainly.
I thought it was English he was speaking.
Yeah, he was speaking English.
Oh, was he? Okay. In which case, I don't know what country it was, but absolutely loving it when Zaza missed.
Just cracking up. Yeah. Doing an impression.
Freund's always been a bit of a character, though. I remember when he was at Spurs, he used to try and G up the crowd, really. Before that was a done thing, he used to do that quite a lot, didn't he? Mm.
Benucci couldn't beat Neuer for a second time.
No.
Neuer's thinking, oh, I'm not having this, mate.
That happened again.
Twice in a game?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know my nationality? And of course he put it in, but Matteo Darmian missed the decisive one.
You could tell as well. So often you can see from the body language, can't you, what the players are feeling.
Do you reckon Hodgson was watching that and seeing Yogi Love celebrating with the players and going, yeah, well, at least I didn't scratch my arse and sniff it on the TV.
Yeah, well, you got to take your victories where you can.
Yeah, imagine if Hodgson did that. That's the only thing that could have made our tournament worse. Hodgson, who was technically an old age pensioner,
just wet himself on the bench or something.
Yeah.
Schweinsteiger missed when he had a chance to win it.
He also had a fairly obvious foul on the goal, which was subsequently disallowed as well.
But it was a good win for Germany. They're through once again, yeah. Well, good semi-final, that one.
I was about to say, that'll be a great semi-final.
A little bit of history with that one. We go back to 82.
Battiston versus Schumacher. Maybe there'll be payback finally for that.
I'm just trying to think of any history with Wales and Portugal, and I like the fact that we won't hear, well, of course, in 1950, whatever, you know. So yeah, we can just enjoy. And
I think we'll enjoy both, knowing that we're safely home, safe and sound.
Yeah.
No more. Yeah. I mean,
we can watch Arlie Angles, can't we? Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't have to be there.
I don't think anything can happen now to make it more embarrassing for England fans. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We're out the tunnel, aren't we?
What could happen?
We're in the hospital bed, out the coma. Going, oh well. Yeah. Have a nice sleep.
We'll keep you overnight for observation, but you're out of the woods now.
Pete, what could happen that would make it more embarrassing for England? What would leap to mind?
The only thing I can think of.
It would be like a drug problem or something. They all took loads of drugs to be that bad. Off their face on nandrolone.
Performance-enhancing drugs. All the England players are on performance-enhancing drugs and still lost.
Or that Hodgson mucked up the selection team sheet and he did choose drink water, but it wasn't communicated properly to him, and so he didn't come.
There's loads of bottles of water on the bench. They're like, no.
But to be fair, we had those stories today about the chandeliers, and so they removed all of the chandeliers from the bloody hotel.
I don't really understand.
Yeah. Jeez.
So ahead of England staying at the hotel staff were warned to remove the chandeliers. Maybe in case they were going to smash them out.
But Hodgson's a bit old-fashioned, isn't he? So maybe they said, oh, you know, what's it going to be like if you actually sort of win a big game or something? Well, we'll probably be swinging from the chandeliers.
I wonder, the only other thing that could be embarrassing would be if there were a load of English hooligans still there. And they beat up the Welsh grannies or something.
Why would the Welsh grannies be there?
Just supporting their team, mate.
Why?
A leaf out of their book. Support your team. They might not have got relegated.
Peter, should we have some emails if we have any?
All right, then.
Actually, before that, should we do the bet of the show?
Oh, yeah. Bet of the show is we have gone for this time round Wales versus Portugal. We've gone for over 3.5 goals in that game, which is currently 9-2 on Bet365, which £50 returns £275, including your stake. All proceeds, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK, but you must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. And for more information on responsible gambling, please go to
gambleaware.co.uk. Yes. Peter, do we have
another little quick one which I quite liked, which is France.
This is the highlight.
France are now 10-1 to win the World Cup in 2018.
Oh, mate!
365, yeah. So £10, that gets you £110 back.
What are England, or are they not bothering?
I did look at the England one and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to mention that. Uh-huh. Let's just say they're at bigger odds than France.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Good value, great value.
But not quite big enough to warrant it.
good stuff. We got Simon on the emails. Dear sir/madam. I'm not really sure why he's so formal on that one. But was bored this evening having run out of podcast dissecting the very fabric of English football to figure out what the problem is. My conclusion has been fuck knows, could be all of it, to be honest. So decided to listen to the first Ramble episode after Hodgson's appointment and noticed a very interesting symmetry. Show opens with the usual before one of you asks about the whereabouts of Testicle Matt. Sure enough, the last episode of the Hodgson era before his resignation was titled After Testicle Matt. Is this symbolic?
Wow.
Is Testicle Matt channeling his recovery from testicle misdemeanors to become the harbinger of pain and misery for English football?
Well, Hodgson's managed like an old ball bag anyway. So just linked in, isn't it?
Pretty much.
His career has been basically on this show. Roy Hodgson's career has been bookended, started and finished by a testicle.
But he, unfortunately, he resigned. He didn't get sacked.
Oh, dear.
If anyone's interested, England are 16-1 to win the World Cup in 2018, which is preposterous.
Hello to Moore. He says, all right, lads, I'm currently on a training course in Cheltenham, but I couldn't help to email in and make you guys feel better if it helps the country I'm from is also not in the Euros. Kurdistan. Love and peace, Moore. Right. Thank you, Moore. They are the Viva World Cup holders, though. I was Wikipedia-ing a little bit earlier on. Do you want half an email, half an advert for our Aircast magnificence?
Yes.
Can England get in that tournament? You know, if the UK breaks out and they leave Europe, is there sort of a way?
I've heard a couple of telegrams have been sent.
Surely.
Just put a feeler out.
Surely we'd at least get to the semis in that.
The thing is now, England, do you remember a couple of years ago there was talk of bringing back the home internationals and people were joking, like, oh, England might actually win something. Wouldn't win now, would they?
No, no.
They wouldn't win.
No,
don't bring it back.
Yeah, please don't.
Give us the Acast business.
This chap by the name of Matt was having a little bit of trouble downloading the podcast. I don't know what happened last time. Sorry, guys, if you had any trouble downloading the podcast.
I think it was iTunes.
It was iTunes that messed us around. So he basically just said, I was having lots of trouble downloading it. I downloaded and re-downloaded the episode numerous times, and each time as the intro music played, Luke would cut in with a remark about legs hanging off a crossbar. Now, I'm a fan of Mr. Moore, don't get me wrong, but when you're desperate to hear Marcus break the show in with his classic sympathetic sigh, everyone else can wait in line, quite frankly, which I think is a lovely way of summing up the podcast.
totally agree with that.
No. skipping different parts of the tracks only brought about the same anecdote about goalposts, and after repeated attempts, I felt like I was living a ramble version of The Shining, and Link Moore's voice was that of a child in a creepy hallway, and Jim was the bartender.
Sorry, what is your point?
Then came the light bulb moment, and a form of saviour in the unlikely shape of Mr. Donaldson. What does Pete bag about at the start of the show? I thought to myself. A quick flick to the App Store, a small donation later, and suddenly my frustrations were over. The good old Aircast app had come to my aid. I have never needed a box-shaped area or a particularly comfortable mattress, but unlike previous ad campaigns hosted by our good selves, this app is more Aircast than Goldblum in Independence Day 2. So basically, he enjoyed the fact that he was able to access the podcast via Aircast. Yeah. Some weeks, that's the only way of doing it, thanks to iTunes. So apologies if you were having trouble last week, but it's a good example of getting involved with the Aircast Plus. £1.99 per month, it gives you access to all of the specials. It's a magnificent, wonderful thing. Tell your family.
And it gives you ad-free rambles, of course.
Yeah, and it gives you...
but not Luke-free rambles.
No. We're still working on that.
Yeah, it's a difficult edit job.
It'll be £150 a month.
And the podcast will be and 2 minutes long.
Cheaper twice the price.
Well, of course, the recent special is the Le Tournois review that we did. That was when England actually were quite good.
Oh,
Heady days they were. But just... piggybacking on the back of that email, I saw the recent Independence Day film, and I think...
Oh, have you seen it?
Yeah, and I think Goldblum's dropped a B-list.
Oh, come on.
What?
Don't start this up again.
Is it 3-on-1?
I thought we put that to bed.
No, but it wasn't Goldblum that did it, it was the film. It was the script.
I've heard it's not great. It's disappointing.
Yeah,
if Jeff Goldblum ever got around to using the penalty algorithm, the whole Ramble universe would explode.
No, but if aliens came down, you'd need to hand over that algorithm.
Get the alien algorithm out.
There you're talking. There you're talking. Yeah, Goldblum for England?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Who was our shortlist last week? Doctor Who, Greg Wallace.
Greg Wallace, number one Big Brother.
I didn't agree with Greg Wallace.
Why?
I suppose he's good at different ingredients. Like Doctor Who's fine.
Big flavours.
Yeah.
Polish the back line.
Yeah. I'd have Goldblum. There we are. Any more for anyone?
I'd have Chris Coleman.
Actually, Chris Coleman was asked about this and he said, it's not something I'd get offered, but it's not something that I would rule in either.
Fair enough.
Well done, Coleman.
His washing machine will probably break anyway.
Hey, those days seem a while ago. That's when he was real Sociedad manager.
It was, yeah.
That's right.
And enjoying student parties. It has been reported.
Pretending to have had a broken washing machine.
Still actionable.
I know.
Allegedly. It doesn't work.
Luke, I'm taking a gamble that other things are at the moment.
Yeah. These opinions are not of my employers.
As soon as I get knocked out of the tournament, he's going to send a letter.
Well, thanks very much for listening to the Football Rebel Euro, sponsored by Bet365. We'll be back after the first semi-final, of course. So do check that one
out. When's the night, mate?
Yeah, Wednesday night.
Yeah,
sorry, Wednesday night is the first semi-final, of course.
Yeah. Lovely.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Three cheers for Britain.
We've been hooray. Three cheers for Peter.
Thank you.
All right. All right. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.